Because if all Jesus had done was come to this earth and taught good things, if all he had done is come to this earth and taught good things and healed people, if that's all he did and then died on a cross and was never resurrected, we would not have hope of salvation. I'm out in the community all the time. I am spreading love and joy wherever I go, especially when I'm driving. I really am. I'm killing it here lately, and I've been having a lot of conversations with people, and they've been talking to me about becoming a Christian. And people from time to time will tell me, well, Neil, I have prayed the prayer and I accepted Jesus into my heart. And I will say, that is so awesome. But let me tell you how to take it to the next step. And they'll go, well, what do you mean take it to the next step? Let me explain to you that there is nothing in the Bible that says that you can pray a prayer and accept Jesus into your heart. And they'll go, well, that's what the preacher told me. And I said, well, I understand what the preacher told you. And I think that he was probably doing the best he could with what he knew. But let me tell you what the Bible says. And from time to time, people will come to me and they'll say, Neil, I want to be baptized. What do I need to know? Well, I am going to give you this information. You may be here this morning and you say, well, I've been baptized a long time ago. I don't need to listen to this. And I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. And the reason why you need to listen to this is because you need to be able to answer these questions with the people that you come in contact with. You need to know why you were baptized, because I think a lot of us are just like those people who prayed a prayer because that's what the preacher told them they needed to do, and that's how they're living their life. But what you need to know is what the Bible says about baptism. So I've entitled the lesson, Why Baptism? Because of the fact that I think for a lot of us, we need to know why we were baptized, or we need to know why the world needs to be baptized. If you look at your lesson notes, the scripture that was read to you today is probably one of the foremost scriptures about baptism. But I want to go through and give you 10 points that I think will be helpful when it comes to baptism. Number one, it is the beginning of your walk with God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. I had a lady that was a member of the church, not this particular church, but another church. And she came to me one Sunday morning. She says, Neil, I am so excited because I have to tell you what happened. She was going to a non-denominational Bible class for women on Thursday. And she was going to this non-denominational Bible class. And one of the questions was asked of the group, do you know when you were saved? And this, she said, the ladies went around the room and one after another said, well, you know, I believe I was 12 and I prayed this prayer. And another one said, yeah, I kind of think it was sometime in here. And another one said this, and she got around to her and she says, I know exactly the day, the time, and the hour I was saved. And every woman in the room looked at her and said, tell me more. And she cited the day that she, the Sunday morning that she took on Christ in baptism, because that was the day that she knew she was saved. Now, I was 9 years old when I was baptized. I was just a kid. And I'll tell you the truth about the matter is I was at a Bible camp. And they had this preacher come in there, and you probably, if you're my age, you remember these preachers that they'd get up and they would preach a lesson and they would scare the hell out of you. And that's what happened to me. I heard him preach and I was 9 years old, and I I just listened to him, and he said, you know, if you die tonight, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And I'm thinking, well, I haven't been baptized. I need to get baptized. So the next day, I got up, and I was baptized. I got a little certificate. It's June 9th. We're not going to talk about how many years ago. But it was June 9th that I was baptized. And I will never forget that night because I got baptized. They were singing. They took me into the lake there at the camp. It was just a beautiful scene. And they took me into the lake and they baptized me. They prayed over me. I got up out of the water and then they checked me for leeches. So that was my baptism story. But I will never forget the day that I became a Christian. Look at Romans 6 and verse 4. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. And underline these words, we too may live a new life. I was having a discussion this morning with one of the members here about grace and how much does grace cover. And you know, I have no idea how much grace covers because I'm not God. Now, there's times I wish I was God because, you know, some people that don't drive correctly, you know, I wouldn't give them grace. But the thing of it is, we don't know how much grace is covering us. But I do know this, that when I was 9 years old and I was baptized, I had no idea of the sin that I would commit later on in life. I had no idea whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I have friends, I even have a relative that was rebaptized because he felt like I've sinned so much that I need to get baptized again. And in all of this, I want you to know that when you get baptized, you don't automatically stop sinning. As a matter of fact, I have been a Christian for I don't know how many years, because we're not going to count, but I have been a Christian for a long, long time, and guess what? I still sin. And if you get baptized, guess what? You are going to sin also. But this new life that I live, God's grace covers that sin. This new life that I live, it continually washes me. Now, the passage says we don't want sin to abound. We're not going to keep sinning just because we can sin. But when I do fall down, I don't have to live in fear because God's grace is covering me in that new life. Number two is how you become a member of the church. It's how you become a member of the church. And I want you to know that it's not the member of this church. It's a member of the Lord's body of believers. That's how you become a member of the Lord's body of believers. Now here, we do ask people about their baptism to see if they've been baptized because we want everybody to be baptized for the remission of their sins so that they may spend eternity with Jesus. So it's a doctrine that we teach. But when you get baptized, you're not baptized here in order to be a member here. You are baptized to be a part of the body of Christ. Look at what it says here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000, and underline these words, were added to their number that day. The people who accept the message of the good news of Jesus Christ are baptized, and they're added to the number. Acts chapter 16, verse 15, it says, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. And underline these words, if you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, she said, come stay at my house. And she persuaded us. You see, when you're baptized, it means that you are a believer in the Lord. Number three, it means to be immersed in water. It means to be immersed in water. I had a friend who was at Freed Hardeman. Freed Hardeman is a Christian school, and he was studying to be a preacher. I was studying to be in finance. He was a great guy. But they had this thing that they did, and they would ask the preaching students to stand up and quote scripture as a part of the chapel. We had chapel every day. I tell you the truth, I hated chapel because it seemed like it was mandatory worship. But we had to go to chapel every day. It was always at 9 o'clock, same time every day. And it was so bad that if you didn't show up, you did not sit in your seat, you got an absent, and you could only miss 5 chapels per semester. So I learned that I could pay other people to sit in my seat and I didn't have to go. But there were times that I went and I was sitting in chapel and they would have different things. They'd have a singing day, they'd have guest speakers and things like that. But sometimes, I think it was, they just didn't have anything going on and they would ask the Bible students to stand up and quote scripture. Well, I had a friend of mine that was a Bible student and he stood up to quote scripture and he quoted this right here. Acts chapter 8, 34 through 39. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" You'll get that later on today when you wake up, okay? Then Philip began with that very passage of scriptures and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why should I be baptized?" They forbid him from ever speaking in chapel again. And look at verse 38. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And Philip baptized them. And then verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. It, as a matter of fact, one of the things that you can do if you're studying your Bible and you get to the word baptism, you can just substitute the word immerse, okay? He immersed them. The reason why I'm telling you that is because when they were translating the King James Bible, they came to this and they just saw that the word was immerse. And they struggled with that for quite a while because they were thinking to themselves that they've got to be something more than just immersion. So they took the Greek word baptismo and they made it into baptism. And that's how we got the idea of baptism today. But the actual word just means to immerse. Number four, it is the answer of a good conscience towards God. It is the answer of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of the dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God." Underline those words, "but the pledge of a good conscience towards God." You see, a lot of times when it comes to baptism, we think it's just an act that we have to do, but it is a pledge of a good conscience toward God that I am going to follow Jesus Christ. And then look at what it says next. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On April the 20th, we're going to have a tent service. Matter of fact, in case you're here today and this is your first time here, we're swapping things around next Sunday. I can't tell you the number of texts that I got. Are we doing worship this week? Are we doing Bible class first? What are we going on here? I got several people confused. We're going to try to keep you confused as long as we can. But next Sunday, we're going to be having Bible class first and worship second. So if you show up first, you're going to get a good Bible class. And then if you show up at 10 o'clock, you're not going to get Bible class. You're just going to get worship. But on April the 20th, we're not having any Bible classes because we're trying to keep you confused. We're going to have a tent service out here off to the side of the building, and we're going to be inviting neighbors and friends to come and be a part of that. Mike's already told me he's going to get the donuts. Shaq's going to get the coffee. We're going to have this thing rocking. But one of the great things of it is we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I think sometimes we see Easter because of the fact that we celebrate the coming of the Lord and his death, burial, and resurrection every Sunday with the Lord's Supper, and Richard did a phenomenal job of explaining that this morning. I think because we do that so often, we don't really take into consideration the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if all Jesus had done was come to this earth and taught good things, if all he had done is come to this earth and taught good things and healed people, if that's all he did and then died on a cross and was never resurrected, we would not have hope of salvation. You see, we are saved by the resurrection of Jesus. Number five, it's a commitment for life. It's a commitment for life. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. From time to time, children will hear enough of the message that they'll talk about being baptized. And I think it's a good conversation to have with kids. Back several years ago when I was young enough to do it, I used to be a camp counselor. And I've got so many great stories about being a camp counselor. It was phenomenal. My kids were little. She didn't trust me to be by myself for that long, so she got her mom and dad's camper pulled to the camp where I was a counselor, and she stayed in the camper with the kids, and I did what I was going to do during the day, and then she could keep an eye on me to make sure I did not misbehave too much. But it was just a joyful time. But one of the things that would happen is the young people there, they would get a little excited about being a Christian, and they would start thinking things, and then they would come to me and they would say, "Mr. Neal, I really want to be baptized." And I would say to them, "Do you understand the commitment that you're making? It's the same kind of commitment as deciding what you want to be when you grow up. It's the same kind of commitment that you make when you decide you're going to marry somebody and spend the rest of your life together." And I would say to them, "Are you ready to do that?" And a lot of these kids, they would say, "Oh yeah, I'm ready to do that." And then I would say to them, "Well, when's your swim time?" And they would tell me their swim time. And I would say, "Meet me in the cafeteria during your swim time." And all of a sudden, one by one, these kids would drop out because they didn't want to miss their swim time. You see, it is a major commitment to life. Galatians 2:20, this is a tough scripture. We've heard it, we sang it, but it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live," and underline these words, "but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Number six, baptism is what God's word teaches. It's what God's word teaches. If you really want to understand why we do baptism, why we stress baptism as a part of your walk with God, it's because it's what God's word teaches. Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. If you will go through the book of Acts, and every time there is a conversion story, baptism is a part of that conversion story. As a matter of fact, one of the things I do when people come to me and want to talk about baptism is I give them every scripture in the New Testament that talks about baptism. And we go through most of those scriptures. And in all of the things that we hear in the book of Acts, that we read in the book of Acts, has to do with baptism, a part of the story. Number 7, it is for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Underline those words, "for the forgiveness of your sins." I was listening to the radio this morning. I get up early on Sunday mornings. I think some of it has to do with the fact that I'm just so excited to be with you on Sunday mornings. Have I told you lately that I love you? Because I really, really do. And I get up early, and I go, and Nancy's sometimes still in bed like she was this morning. I go to McDonald's, and I buy us coffee. And on Sunday mornings, I turn on the radio, and I'm listening to whoever's preaching. And this morning, I'm listening to this guy, and he is talking about that Satan has given us so much that we don't feel like we need God. He has blessed us, and Satan is continuing to bless this nation to the point that we feel like we don't need God. And I thought for a minute, that is so true. And I remember being down in Honduras building a church down there and a mission trip that I did. And I didn't speak the language, so everything was done through translators. And I don't know how this guy knew that I was a preacher, but he came up to me and he asked me to baptize him through a translator. And of course, I was glad to. And these folks were so poor that we were building homes, and it basically was a 4x4 structure, 4 walls and 1 window and 1 door, and it was dirt floors. And we were building, and these people were so excited about it. And this guy came up to me, and he wanted to be baptized. So I baptized him, and through a translator, we found a pool of water. We baptized him, and he came out of the water, and he just did this fist raise like that and screamed as loud as he could. Because he knew at that moment that his sins had been forgiven. You see, we're so focused on our stuff. We're so focused on getting ahead. Satan's given us nicer homes, nicer cars, more technology. And he's keeping our focus off of God. And he's keeping our focus off of our sin and our need for God. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but there's not a person in this audience today that does not need the forgiveness of their sins. And I think sometimes that because of the fact there's so much sin going on around us, and sin is being justified every day. As a matter of fact, I've watched people condemn the church because we stand for something. I think because so much of it's going around, we don't see the sin in our life because we're so busy looking at the sin going on in the world. But each one of us need that forgiveness. Number 8, it was modeled by Jesus. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9, at the time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. He was baptized by John in the Jordan. If you claim to be a Christian, that means you're a Christ follower. Now, I know there's a lot of people in the world that claim to be Christians. I see it all the time. People will win an award and they'll do one of these for, giving glory to God. But during the rest of the week, they live like they have no God and no tomorrow. And I know for a lot of people that we call ourselves Christians, but what really makes you a Christian is when you follow the teachings of Christ and the example of Christ. It doesn't mean when you show up here on church on Sunday morning that I'm a Christian because I live on Sunday morning like a Christian. You know what makes you a Christian is how you live the other 6 days of the week. I am more concerned about how Christians live Monday through Saturday than I am what they do on Sunday morning. Because if you live one way on Sunday morning and then live like hell the rest of the week, guess where you're going to spend eternity? Like you live the 6 days of your week. Now, I am all for the correct doctrine. I am all for doing things in Bible with Bible names and in Bible ways. But let me tell you this, just because you belong to a church that has the correct doctrine doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is when you go out into the world every day and you live like Jesus. And the beginning of that is modeling what he did when he was baptized. Number 9 is the reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Romans 6:4, we are therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When I was growing up, I saw a lot of baptisms. I saw them at camps, I saw them in the church and things like that. And I always thought it was interesting that we didn't have a screen, so we didn't have to raise it. But somebody would come into the water, they'd dunk them, they'd get them wet, and then they'd send them on their way. And I'm like, okay, what's the big deal about that? But what the big deal about that is when you are baptized, you are reenacting the death, the burial, and the resurrection. When you're on this side, this side over here, let's just say you're getting ready to come down in the water, you are still the same person that you used to be. And you're coming down in the water and you're saying, I am going to crucify myself, I'm going to kill myself so that I can live for Jesus, that Jesus can live in me. And then you come down in the water and we baptize you, we bury you in the water. That's the reason why immersion is so important, is we actually reenact the death and then the burial. You are buried. Now, lucky for you, we don't hold you down for 3 days. Now, some of you, I might want to do that. But we don't hold you down for 3 days, but when you come up out of that water, you're a new person. You live a new life. Look at what it says, that we too may live a new life. And that baptism is the beginning of that new life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we are raised from the dead. Number 10, it's a part of our mission as a church. I think sometimes when we do these lessons on baptisms, we think that, okay, I've been baptized, it is okay, I've got that taken care of. Or sometimes maybe my children need to be baptized and I want to make sure they get baptized. Or maybe a family member needs to get baptized and we think that. But let me explain this to you. Our mission as a church is to go into the world and baptize. Look at what it says. here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And just underline these first two words, therefore go. Just underline those, therefore go. Because we have a charge from Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And underline, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, I think that therefore go, and that I am always with you, go hand in hand. If we as a church quit going out and reaching the lost, if we as a church decide we've got enough seats for how many we've got in here right now, and that's all we need. By the way, I am so thankful that some of you got up and moved up today. As a matter of fact, next week when you go to sit down, just go ahead and move one row forward. And if you do that, you'll push Nancy and I out of the seats on the front row. Let's see if we can do that. Wouldn't that be awesome if on Sunday morning next week we had standing room only? I know it's probably never going to happen because most people, if you're going to make them stand and listen to me preach, they're going to go someplace else. But wouldn't it be awesome if we as a church would therefore go, and then we could know that Jesus was with us always. I think the reason why a lot of us don't really enjoy our walk with God, we see it as a drudgery, is because we're not going. We come here, but we don't go out there and try to reach others. We got so many easy ways for you to do it. We've got pens that we give you every Sunday morning, and we give you those pens. And one of the things that I love about it is we can take those pens and say, hey, this is where I go to church. Would you join me sometime? Or you can take those pens and you can give them away and just say, hey, if you ever need a church, this is a great one I belong to. But what I see on every Sunday morning, well, Monday morning when I come in, is there's a bunch of pens laid over here because people aren't going. They don't want to take a pen with them. I remember one particular day I had given away a pen first thing in the morning, was talking to somebody and I gave them a pen. And then later on that afternoon, I was at lunch with somebody and I reached to give them a pen and I didn't have one. But luckily, the person I was with had one, and that we were able to give him that pen. It's just a simple act. Another simple act would be just say, hey, we have this Easter service. We have this crazy preacher. You got to come here because he's not right. And you come hear him once, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And just bring someone with you. It's Easter Sunday. It's going to be under the tent. Shaq ordered 375 chairs or something like that. Let's make us take more chairs down there because we are going. And when we go, we can know that Jesus is with us. You may be here this morning and you say, well, Neil, I've never been baptized, and I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. Well, you know, we've got everything ready back here. It may be that you think, well, this is something I might need to do, but I want to talk about it some more. Well, we've got people you can talk to. You can see me after service. Or maybe you've been baptized and you need to consider your walk with God and whether or not you're living up to what God has called you through your baptism. You may be here and you may be just suffering. It could very well be that that things in your life are not right now and you just don't really know where to turn, we pray for you. We can pray for you. And it may be that you're struggling with your faith and we can strengthen you. Whatever it is that you need, we sing this invitation song, and we sing this invitation song as an opportunity for you to explore your heart and encourage one another to live for Christ. Will you come as we stand and sing?